At this time, we'd like to go ahead and dismiss all of our kids to our Kids Zone program with Miss Kathy. And I hope you kids have a great time today. Got to learn a lot and work up an appetite.
Yeah. Don't forget, we got two birthdays in the house today.
But it's certainly good to see each and every one this morning. For those of you, if this is your first time with us, or if it's been a while, my name is Chip Ward. And I am the pastor here at Lexington Christian Church. Enjoying the opportunity just to continue to serve you folks and just the opportunity to share with you each and every week. We've been going through a pretty awesome series entitled Hashtag Love On. I've really enjoyed this sermon series a lot, I think, but it's so much more than just a sermon series. It is an initiative. It is something that we as a church want to be about this year. How we truly love on each other, how we truly love on our community, how we love on our God, while knowing all of this, He is continually loving on all of us. And through that, I hope that we've gleaned a lot from this series. So before we jump into this final message of this series today, let's ask God to just be with us. And let's ask Him to just help us take away some important truths that we should apply to our lives today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this day. And we thank You for that we can just take time out of our lives to hear Your Word. To let You speak to us. To let Your Spirit move in us. To know that You are an awesome, amazing God. Father, we come before You this morning and all of us in different stages, different parts in our lives. Father, I ask that for those of us that are trying to find some answers in life, I pray, God, that as we will seek You, that You are the answer that we turn to. That we seek You with all our heart and not just out of wanting some answer, but to come before You knowing that You are the God of the universe. That we humble ourselves and we submit to You. Father, if we're just coming today and just our hearts are hurting, Father, I ask that You would just watch over us and just comfort us right now. Father, for those that are just struggling with physical ailments, whether it's been this crazy flu that's been going around, not just here but all over the country, to the battles with cancer, terminal illnesses, Father, You are our rock and our strength in those moments. And I pray, God, that You would just watch over us. And Father, as we take the time now to focus on our spiritual lives, that Father, You would just let these words today lift us up and help us understand more and more how much not only have You loved us from the beginning, that we should love on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I hope this sermon series has been valuable to you as it has to me. We opened up God's Word over the past several weeks to learn some valuable truths about the love of God. And I just want to take a moment just to highlight some of those just briefly, just to recap a little bit what we've been really getting from this series. Our first week, we discovered the pure definition of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13. We learned that the love of the Lord is the start of transformation. That was a key point in that sermon that as we kick things off, that we understand if we discover truly what the love of the Lord is, our lives can't stay the same. They are transformed. In the second week, we looked at how to hashtag love on the hurting, the first of three conditions that we can, that people are going through that we can love on, no matter what the type of hurt is. And while it is good to pray for those that are hurting, prayer should be a catalyst. Prayer should be something that initiates us to take action to show that love for that person and what they're going through. In week three, we looked at how to hashtag love on the skeptic. From that, we discovered that, you know, not all skeptics are trying to debate with you. They're not trying to prove your faith wrong. They're just cautious. They're not sure because they've seen how Christianity has been displayed in the negative light. And so we looked at truths like that. It helped us understand that, you know, Christians, you know, we're not perfect by any means. We're simply forgiven because of what Jesus Christ is. How we have hope during this life and in the life to come from God. And then that we take the message and take the mission of Jesus, truly trying to bring people back into a relationship with His Father seriously. That it's something that becomes a part of us. And that we truly love on the skeptic. And then last week, we finished the third of three of these three conditions by talking about how we love on the misled, the misinformed. And we, from that last week, we understood that God provides platforms. God provides us the opportunities for us to help people understand God the way we understand Him and the way that the Bible describes Him. And through that, we also discovered that if we understand the culture of our world, we understand the culture of Lexington, it better equips us to prepare to meet that culture's spiritual needs. So there's been a lot that we have gathered from during this series. And today we wrap it all up. And I almost hate that we're wrapping this one up because it's been a fantastic series. But today we are going to wrap this up by understanding hashtag love on our God. And as we take a moment to think about that, I know it's not easy. Because when we think about loving on God, just to piggy off a little bit about last week, you know, one of the misconceptions about God, about loving on God, is if the only way to love on God, if we love on God, that means we're trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to stay in God's good graces. And we're trying to make sure that, because here's the aspect of it that really comes to light is, man, how can I really love on God? I mean, God's probably got so many people loving on Him, but I'm full of mistakes. I mess up all the time. I'm not perfect. And how can I just always continue to love on God? I'm constantly at work. I'm doing my work. I'm thinking about these things. I've got kids to take care of. I've got all these different aspects of my life going on. How can I truly love on God in the type of world that I'm living in? Well, today we want to take an aspect of Scripture to help us understand this in a different light, maybe to help shed that misconception that even in the midst of everything you've got going on, in the midst of even the struggles and the problems you have in life, you can love on God. And we're going to turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy to help us learn this. So take your Bibles, and if you have your Bibles with you today, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the ESV version, but feel free to follow along in yours. In Spanish, we have it in the bulletin. We also have Spanish Bibles in the back as well. And at any point, if you feel like you feel led to want to take some notes, we have some pads and paper in the back as well if you want to do that also. So I don't mind you getting up and grabbing those for that reason. But today, this scripture, we're going to break this down and we're going to really help understand this in a unique light today. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 this morning. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, that you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. According to Jesus, this is the greatest commandment in all the laws that were set in motion, all the laws put in the Torah, all the laws of the law of Moses, even the laws that were written on the Ten Commandments, the ones that were written in stone by God. This is the one commandment that was told that would separate Israel A country who had been freed by God, who had been in slavery in Egypt, had been led out to forge a life of their own. This would separate them from the rest of the world. And because of this, you know, everybody wonders, so why was God so big about Israel? You know, it wasn't anything that Israel was better or perfect or any of those things. It was just a promise that God made. When he met Abraham, when he told him to go and follow him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, a father of many people. It was God's promise to Abraham that the people that would come after him that he would love on, they would be his people. All started with one person. And through all that, we finally hear the words that come from Moses himself to say that love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Let's look at each of these phrases. Let's see how we can apply those to our lives as we do our best to hashtag love on our God. The first of these phrases is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Man, there's been many love songs that have been written that have talked about how I'm going to give you my heart. Even though there was a Christmas song, I think there was recently that came out a couple years ago, This Christmas, I Give You My Heart. And there's so many different songs that talk about how we, when we really love someone, you know, I love you with all my heart. And of course, we think of that in the sense of a romance, and we think of that as for in that sense of love. But again, we have to understand what God is saying here with this. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. We got to go back to that definition of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13. Those first couple of verses there, 4 through 6, that talk about how love is patient and kind. How love is not envious. It keeps no record of wrongs. All these different aspects about that love that help us forge a better definition of what God's looking for. That this type of love is something that's like a devotion. That you are truly devoted to God. That your life will, you don't want anything to separate that. You will do everything you can with all your heart to do this. In fact, our love for God can sometimes lack depth. It can lack thankfulness. And so we have to understand, how can I really love God with all our heart? But again, we've said it before, you probably have heard it once before, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it's not on the screen, but it's a very familiar passage that we love because what? He first loved us. Since the beginning of creation, God has loved His people, not just Israel. Now, that love includes all people, of all nations, of all races. All people on earth, no matter what their view of political life is, or who they think they are sexually, or gender, He loves them. He loves them because He sent His Son Jesus for all of them. And here's the thing, I bring up things that's going on in our culture. This isn't just happening in our culture, it's happened in past cultures. People have dealt with this since from all the way back the days of Noah. So you have to understand that all these things God loves. God loves us first before we can love Him. And when we understand God's love for us, it helps build that emotional connection. In fact, God understands that the heart a lot of times governs our emotions. He understands that, you know, we kind of sometimes make some rash decisions based on what we think. We hear the phrase a lot, you know, go with what your heart says. Well, we got to be careful sometimes with the heart because the Bible even says the heart can be deceitful. The heart can trick us, can play games with us when we're only thinking of ourselves in that kind of way. So understand that God knows that the heart governs our emotions. And I think even Jesus demonstrated this when He answered the disciples about this discussion with the Pharisees one time about eating with unwashed hands. In Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus defines the condition of our heart outside of a relationship with God. Listen to these words. Jesus says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. All these different aspects we struggle with because our heart is in conflict at times. And knowing this, the only way we can have hope that our heart can be restored right with God is by understanding His love for us. We need His love and His Spirit to fuse, to mold, to blend in with ours. In fact, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. I think these words will give us a great understanding of what God can do to help us with this. Starting in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The emotional part of us, we can love on God with. So love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second one is love the Lord your God with all your soul. There are many differing opinions among theologians and pastors about the soul. Many equate the soul and the spirit as one thing. However, we do have references in Scripture that actually separate the two. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I can't go into a lot of detail about this today, but there's a couple of things about the soul. We hear about this a lot. There's one of the most important things God is after is our soul. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the soul is. Is the soul the same as the spirit? Is the soul something totally separate? Like I said, I can't go into all of this today, but I'll give you just a little bit to help you understand what's going on here about the soul. See, the soul comes from within us. It's our inner being. Think of it this way. When God made Adam, okay, when God made Adam, He only used dirt to form the body. But that was just there. It's just a body. It didn't have life until God breathed His breath into the body, and then Adam came to life. Then Adam was a living being. Another great way to equate it is there's this little thing a lot of us carry around today. It's either in our pockets, it's in our purse. It looks a little rectangle-ish, kind of moves around, and it can do awesome, fun things. Anybody know where I'm going with this? No clue. It's a smartphone. It's a smartphone. Most people today, not all, but most people carry around with them a smartphone. Okay? However, that smartphone is just as dark or bright looking, however your color yours is, it's just a square thing unless it has what? Power. It has to have electricity flowing through it. And it has to be able, that electricity has to be able to connect everything that makes a cell phone or a smartphone work. Because if it doesn't have the power, it's what? It's useless. It's just something that we can just call it a lucky charm, I guess. No, it has to have the power in order for it to work. The soul, in many respects, is what makes us who we are. It gives us life. It gives us power. It is who we are. It's what makes us the person that we are. A body is just a body. See, the soul has the unique circumstance of making us who we are to people in the physical world and also who we are in the spiritual world. It's able to be in both worlds. But as the body gets infected with disease or sickness or a virus, the soul can also be tainted. The soul is tainted by sin. It is tainted when we give in to temptation. What we allow into our soul, and that's why we need to understand that there is a spiritual aspect of our lives. Therefore, the soul, again, has that special distinction of being in both worlds. And so when you understand that, you understand that just as medicine and the body can heal itself, the soul needs to be healed and made clean. And that is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when our soul is able to love on God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can eternally be with God in heaven forever. So that's just a little bit about the soul and how we love the Lord your God with all your soul. The other aspect that's mentioned in Deuteronomy is to love the Lord your God with all your might. And the word might here signifies that this is the physical part. This is the body part that is to love on God. And our bodies, again, were made in the image of God when God formed Adam out of the dirt. God made each of these parts of the body to work so uniquely. It's amazing how we can use our eyes, our hands, our feet in different ways all at once. And it's amazing to me whenever I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when you get an injury, if you sprain an ankle or you or break a wrist, it's interesting how the rest of the body copes with that. The body, God has made the body so uniquely. And in fact, think about your senses. Think about your ability to touch, taste, see, hear, smell. And when it seems like one of those senses goes, the other senses seem to be kind of heightened. But it's amazing how God has created the body. But God has created the body also to be an instrument of expression. We express things, some would call this a personality, and I think this is where the soul kind of plays into play as well. But the body is an extension of how we express ourselves. So some people use their hands when they talk. You can just tell by the look on their face that day not to be around them. Sometimes you can tell when someone is very expressive when they're sad. The body is just that extension of what we can do. But it's also been created to worship. And specifically, it's been created to worship and love on God. So here's some scriptures I want us to take a look at this morning in regard to this. So we're going to be pushing through some of these. So let's first look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 17 through 20 says this. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Romans 12, 1 is a great scripture as well. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Also love another expression of how the body is used is Psalm 47, 1. Fun little scripture to memorize if you ever get a chance. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. You know, using your voice, using your hands, and all the ways in which you can express God in a way of worship. And then 1 Timothy, going back to the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 is a good scripture as well to think about. I desire that then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. In other words, our bodies are to express our love for Jesus. Some people do that multiple ways. When you're singing, you raise your hands. Maybe when you're praying, you bow your head. Or you get on a knee. In so many different ways, these bodies, whether it's your hands, your feet, your arms, your eyes, tongue, they're to show a physical expression of love for the Lord Jesus. Now, these are three aspects of loving on God. But when asked about the greatest commandment by one of the scribes, Jesus seems to add one more element. Look at Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, as we discover this. As one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, and we just heard this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there are no other besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all the strength. And to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So that, there's a final aspect Jesus kind of throws in there. Maybe he had the authority to do this. As you look in Deuteronomy, it doesn't say that one aspect. But I think it's one of the most important. And that is to love the Lord your God with all your mind. The mind governs so much. It is the most complex, the most unique organ of the body. But it also helps govern everything else we do around us, from formulating speech, making us aware of our surroundings, helping us gather knowledge. It's been called the computer of the body. And yet it has so many things that get thrown at it that as we try to process it all works together. The mind works on the spirit, and the spirit works on the heart. And so when we start trying to put together what we think our philosophy of life is, we can be given different types of information that we have to watch out for and really go through. But the Bible's clear that the mind can be swayed not to think about God. So let's look at some important scriptures that will challenge us to love on God through the mind. We'll go back to Romans chapter 12, but now look at verse 2. It says, do not conform to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that the testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. That word transform in the Greek, metamorphosis, to morph, to change, to be completely something different. It's the, again, if you, the old caterpillar, butterfly, how a caterpillar crawls on the ground, but it forms a cocoon when it's time to change. And then what comes out of that cocoon is something completely different. That's the kind that we're talking about. Sometimes you have to go through a radical change in your life. You have to really renew your mind, be transformed by the power and the Word of God to renew your mind daily. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 is a key scripture to check out. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. All these different aspects of what's on our minds? What are we really thinking about? And then I love this next scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 6. What makes this scripture so unique is the message behind it. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. You know, all these different aspects, the heart, the soul, the might, or strength in this matter, in the mind. Everything that we've looked at can be summarized into one simple phrase. If there's nothing else you get out of today, get this. We can hashtag love on God with everything that makes you, you. Everything that how God has wired you, everything how God has molded and shaped you, you can love on God with what He has given you. And what's awesome about that is that He will continue to make you and mold you if you are open to allowing Him in your life and making you whole, complete, fulfilled, all by loving on God. Again, reminding us, though, from 1 John 4:19, that He first loved us. You know, God is responsible for so many things that we don't realize. All the different things that makes us who we are. All those special moments in life. From the moment you were born, to the moment you had your first birthday, to the moment You enrolled in your first school. You made your first friend. All the awesome dates that have happened, if you think about in your life, if you've reached your 16th birthday, or if you've reached your 21st birthday, you reached graduation, you've reached the day you finally said, I do. The anniversaries that will follow with that. He's been in those awesome moments, and yet also he's also been in the moments where you lost a loved one. Or you're dealing with something significant. You lost a job. There's different aspects. God's been through them all. Through the life lessons, through the great moments. God truly has been there. And he's loved you through all of those. But think about this. When's the last time you've loved on God? When you've humbled yourself and said, you know what? I need to turn to God. And I need to love on Him. But maybe you're not sure how to do that. Today, we want to offer you an opportunity to come up and let us pray with you. If that's your desire. Chip, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if my life is worthy. I'm not sure if my life is good enough to love on God. This is where I want you to know God is ready to meet you. Jesus is ready to meet you right where you're at. So He can love on you. And then you in turn can learn how to love on God. It's a mutual love. And when you understand that, it'll change everything. Remember, the love of the Lord is the start of transformation. Will you let Him love on you? Maybe today you need to recommit yourself to loving on God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Then I ask you to come forward today. Rededicate your life. Rededicate to love on God. And it doesn't have to be overwhelming all at once. You find one thing. And you commit your life to it. And you allow the love of the Lord to be a part of that. So I hope and pray that today you will, as we stand and as we sing, that you will allow the love of the Lord to move in your heart. If you need to make a decision today, let us be there for you. Let's stand and let's sing together. Amen indeed. A few things that I want to share with you before we get ready to participate in having a meal together. It is true. We got a couple of birthdays in the house. A couple of special ones. Hey, they happen to be on stage. How about that? Well, and today there's one significant one that has a significant number. We have someone here that has hit the halfway mark in life.
Half a century.
Got a wheelchair? Does anybody have a wheelchair anywhere? We're just messing with you. Let's take a moment. These guys take time out of their lives to lead us in singing and so forth. And let's bless them. Let's sing happy birthday to these. It actually is Lynn and Jimmy's birthdays today. So let's sing happy birthday.
We got two?
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jimmy and Lynn. Happy birthday to you.
Also, I wanted to share these pictures with you. If you haven't had a chance to look at our Facebook page and so forth, I love this scripture that says, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And this is all that over the last 5 weeks, we've had a big initiative of partnering with the Lexington Food Bank. Okay? They had a food shortage. When the snowstorm hit that we had back, I believe it was in December, January, around that time, it depleted a lot of what they had. And so we got word that there was a big need for food donations. And over the last few weeks, our church has responded in a huge way. And not only have you responded, you've gotten the attention of other people in the community who also say, well, if they're doing something, we want to come alongside you and do that as well. And the pictures that you actually see on the top two and the bottom, and then on the left, that's this morning. That was already donated before church started. Some of those donations came in on Wednesday. Some of those donations came throughout the rest of the week. That was, to me, just shows the spirit of the generosity of this church and how we really love on our community. So way to go, LCC. Way to love on your community. And I want you to just give the Lord a hand for how He's just been moving in that. And I also want to announce that this is something that we are going to continue every week. This is something the leadership decided that this shouldn't just be a 5-week special thing. This is something that we are going to be about as far as our hashtag Love On initiative that we're going to do each and every week. So we want to encourage you, when you have the moments and opportunities to donate food to the Lexington Food Bank, let's partner with them all year long. On top of the financial giving that we give to them on a monthly basis, and show our love for our community, for people who are hurting, for just being able to put food on their family's tables. So that's something we will continue to do each and every Sunday for the rest of 2018. And so that's going to be part of our initiative there. Yeah. Yes?
I would like to also say to anybody out here that hunts or fishes or whatever, they're also going to be taking any donations that the Lord blesses you with in your endeavors and hunting and whatever through the Hunters of the Hungry. And we're going to try to form, I think, with the food bank and some of the people that go to different area churches around here, we're going to try to focus on that and try to, you know, our first harvest, you know, bring it to the food bank and watch the blessings flow. So,
okay.
For the Hungry is back.
Awesome. 100%. Very cool. Very cool. So all you hunters, think about that. The next thing I want to share with you real quick is we're going to be going into our next sermon series for the next 3 weeks. It's entitled The Old Testament Chronicles. We're going to be talking about the life of Moses. There's going to be aspects of the life of Moses that we're going to focus on, not just some of the more well-known aspects of Moses. We know that he was a baby in Egypt. He was a prince of Egypt at one point. We know he led people out of Israel. But there's going to be little stories in there in his life that we're going to focus on that will be great life lessons for us to glean from as we go forward. So for the next 3 weeks, we encourage you to come and be a part of our Old Testament Chronicles. And what that's going to, in case, whenever you see that, we're talking about a life of the person in the Old Testament and focusing on a couple of areas of their life that God used to just help shape them into the people they were meant to be. And so we hope you'll be a part of that. And then finally, each and every Sunday, as a part, like I've said, hashtag Love On isn't just a sermon series. It's an initiative. And each and every Sunday, at the end of the service, you're going to see this slide come up. And that is a challenge for all of us to invite someone for us to love on each and every Sunday. And that's what we really want to do. So I hope and pray that as in the future, as we get going, we're going to have some invite cards that are going to have this on, very similar to having this on here, so that if you have someone that you know that is just needs some love in their life, you know, you have that opportunity to invite them to come on a Sunday morning and experience the love of God through this awesome body of people here at Lexington Christian Church. And so that's, again, just another reminder of what we want to be about this coming year. And it's something that we're always going to put on our minds and put fresh on us each and every week. So, with that said, I want to thank you all so much for being here today. And we're going to take a moment to pray. Do we know if everybody's ready for us or not? Mr. Chuck Nichols will be happy to take care of that for us here. All right. Well, folks, again, I do encourage you, invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. Because there's a lot of folks that truly need to feel the love of the Lord in their lives. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this these last 5 weeks. I thank you that you have brought us together and you are giving us a catalyst. You're giving us something to focus on, God, and stretching us to how we love on people more than we ever have. And God, sometimes we need those moments just to be either reminded or we need to have our minds renewed on what that looks like. And I pray that throughout this year, God, that we would keep each other accountable to this pledge, to hashtag love on the people of this church, the people of our community, and to love on you, God, first and foremost, while you love on us all. Thank you, God. And I pray, Lord, that you bless the food for all the hands that have prepared food today, Lord, to just share in a meal together. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just allow our time of loving on each other to continue as we prepare our hearts and our lives for a new week. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.